It was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. And these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am on my way, someone else gets down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat and walk." Immediately the man became well, took up his mat and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Take it up and walk'?" The man who was healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had slipped away, since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on the Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the greatest men in the history of the church, his name was John Paul II. May 25th, 1986, I had the privilege of being ordained by the Pope, John Paul II. So he's a canonized saint, so he placed his hands on my head, so I have holy hair. I'm a walking relic. That's why my barber always tries to save my hair. John Paul II wrote many wonderful, wonderful documents, encyclicals. I've read most of them. I have to go back and read them again. When the Pope becomes a Pope, he kind of studies the church and the world, and he brings together bishops, priests, and theologians to study the most important issues of the time. So back around 1980, he called together a commission, convoked a commission, and to study the sacrament of confession. Now this parish, we have a lot of people going to confession, thanks be to God, no? Where I come from in California also, I was talking with a woman that I was spiritually directing. She said she was waiting on my confessional line and she was number 34. So there are 34 people waiting to go to confession. Not that I'm a curé of ours, no? But confession is important. And in that document, which is called Reconciliatione Penitentia, who you know your Latin well, which means God bless you, means reconciliation and penance. There's a really, really wonderful number which John Paul II speaks about the different effects of sin. And he mentions five. So tonight I'm going to give you a little bit of basic theology. It's not theology for dummies. You know those books that are out there? No? But rather, basic theology from John Paul II. Every sin has five effects. The theological, the personal, the social, the ecclesial, and cosmic. How about that? Can you repeat those? The theological, the personal, the social, the ecclesial, and the cosmic. We have the word cosmos, no? With your permission, I'd like to explain each one of those so that you have a more extensive understanding of what sin does. First and foremost, sin is an offense against God. But actually, that's the most difficult because God is invisible. Like if I insult you, I can see the look on your face. Okay? But if we insult God, we don't see God because God is invisible. So it's a little bit more abstruse, a little bit more difficult. But first and foremost, sin is an offense against God. The best way to understand that is to look at the cross. When I was the age of the altar boys, I was reading the Baltimore Catechism, and there's a really good page where you see a boy that's about 9 years old. He's got a hammer and a nail, and he's pounding the hand of Jesus into the wood with a nail. In the back, he's got a shirt with these three letters, S-I-N. Sin. Picture's worth more than 1,000 words, they say. I never forgot that. So our sin hurts God. So that's the theological. The personal. You know what, when I was your age, one of my many defects was, I lived in New York, I liked to throw rocks at telephone poles, at birds. I liked to throw rocks. I was always throwing rocks because I was a good baseball player, no? I didn't want to become a Houston Asher, I wanted to become a New York Yankee. Sorry about that. Don't throw rocks at me, please, okay? But one occasion, I threw a rock at one of my friends, and he dodged it, and it broke one of our windows. My dad was not a happy camper. He came home, and he asked my mom, who broke that window? The son that has your name, okay? My dad said, you can no longer throw any more rocks. I forbid you. Guess what happened? One day, I wandered down to the woods, which was about a block away from the house, and I looked down and saw these glimmering jewels at my feet. Call those rocks. And what happened was, there was the two standers there. I heard the voice, take it and throw it. Your mom's in the kitchen peeling potatoes. She'll never see you. Okay? The other voice said, obey your mother. So I heard these two voices, throw it! Obey your mother. It's like a tug of war. Ever see those tug of wars? A tug of war. And guess who won? A little bit of charades here. So I threw that rock. I was about your age. I probably threw it 65 miles for an hour. I had a really good arm. I had a wing of an arm. And I threw it. It took off like a rocket. It hit a tree, and it ricocheted, and it hit me in the head. Aha! So I ran home crying, and my mom said, what happened to you? I said, a rock hit me in the head. She said, how'd that happen? It slipped out of my hand. The personal effect of sin. By committing sin, we hurt ourselves. JP2 calls it moral suicide. Moral suicide. It's like a firecracker that explodes in your hand. It's not good, is it? No? It's going to do a lot of damage. Then there's the social effect. How many of you people live in a family? Don't be ashamed, okay? Have you noticed it happen? Typical example, you got three kids. Before dad comes home, one of the kids punches the other. And then the older daughter comes out and says, "Quiet, I'm preparing an exam that I get passed tomorrow." The mother comes out and says, "Be quiet." And when dad comes home, everyone's fighting. And they sit down at the table and they're all angry at each other. It started when one of your siblings hit the other. See, it's called the domino effect. I think it's happened in all of our families. Right? See, Padre? Yeah? It happens. That's the social effect, the domino effect. Or the snowball effect. You ever see a snowball on the top of a mountain? It picks up a lot of momentum, and before you know it, it's really moving fast. How about the ecclesio? Do you know what ecclesio means? Ecclesiology refers to the church, right? Sad to say, someone makes a mistake in the church, maybe a priest or a bishop, and people that have a weak faith make, as we say in English literature, sweeping generalizations. Sweeping generalizations. You know what that is? All the priests or the bishops are bad because one made a mistake. Sad to say, people with a weak faith make these sweeping generalizations and they leave the Catholic faith. Did you know that most Jehovah's Witnesses used to be Catholics? Did you know that? That's sad. Most Mormons used to be Catholics. And what they say is that, well, we didn't see good example in the church. Remember, I was about 8 or 9 waiting for the bus, going to the Catholic school in New York, and I was playing tag with one of my friends, Tommy Carney, you know? And he was running, and I was trying to catch him, and he fell down on the ground there, and he was sprawling, he was moaning. In that moment, his older sister came out and said, "Tommy, Mommy washed your pants yesterday. Look at you. Get up." She cared more about the pants than the poor kid that was half dead, no? This is called the ecclesial effect of sin. Sin hurts the church too. And lastly, the cosmic. Pope Francis, one of his encyclicals is Laudate Si, which is taken from the poem of St. Francis. And you know, sin can even destroy our natural habitat. Probably heard of Hiroshima, Nagasaki, huh? My dad went there after the war, the very end of the war, because the atomic bomb exploded there. Even this very day, there are repercussions, genetic, chromosomatic repercussions in people because of that atomic bomb. To this very day. That happened, what, about 75 years ago? So those are the five effects of sin. Remember them? The theological. We hurt God by our sin. The personal. We hurt ourselves. Remember the stone throw. The social. By committing a sin, we hurt each other. No one is an island unto himself, as the poet says, right? Ecclesial. By hurting the church, we hurt. By committing, we hurt the church, which is mater and magistra, both mother and teacher. And also by committing sin, we even hurt the natural habitat where we live. What's the best way to repair for all these sins? Receiving communion in this Mass and telling Jesus, "I'm sorry." Making a communion of reparation is the most powerful means to repair all the moral transgressions in the world. So what you might do today is offer your communion in reparation for your sins, the sins of your family, and the sins of the whole world. Amen. Let's stand to say the prayer of the faithful. As the solemnity of Easter approaches, dear friends, let our prayer to the Lord be all the more insistent that all of us and the whole multitude of the baptized, together with the entire world, may come to share more abundantly in this sacred mystery. Let us respond, Lord, hear our prayer. That God may be pleased to increase faith and understanding in the catechumens who are to be initiated by holy baptism in the coming Paschal solemnity. Let us pray to the Lord. Peoples in need may find help, and that peace and security may be firmly established everywhere. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our
prayers. All afflicted or suffering temptation may be strengthened by His grace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
All of us may learn to distribute the fruits of self-denial for the good of those in need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
We'll make a worthy reparation for all of our sins and the sins of the whole world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Have mercy, O Lord, on the prayers of your church, and turn with compassion to the hearts that bow before you, that those you make sharers in the divine mystery may never be left without your assistance through Christ our Lord.